So Jeff had no idea what he was going to talk about today, but he touched on something to do with the attitude. And I just sensed today that some of us, including me, we need a little attitudinal adjustment. I remember when I was a drill sergeant, I used to love to say that to the trainees. Come here, Joe. Back then we could call him Joe Trainee. Come here, Joe. Joe, you need an attitudinal adjustment, buddy. Why don't you drop down and give me 50 while we're talking about it? Amen. I'm so glad God isn't like that with us. Amen. He's so gentle and patient. But sometimes he needs to get a hold of us, right? Sometimes stuff happens. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get slapped upside the head with God. Okay? And there's a shaking going on. So I think that's what's going to happen today. I really do. Our first service, oh my gosh, I did something I never thought I would do. I never thought I could do. But I did it. It was amazing. Maybe I'll tell you later. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, or Habakkuk, however you like to say that. It's right between the books of Nahum and Zephaniah, right back by the pages where they're kind of stuck together. Habakkuk chapter 3. How many would agree we're kind of living in the last days? Okay. How many are here today? You're all here today. How many agree we are living in the last days? I truly believe that we are just prior to Jesus' second return. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. In fact, many years ago, I remember Billy Graham was on Larry King Live. How many remember Larry King? And I remember him talking about the last days. Larry King was asking questions of Billy Graham. What's it going to be like? You Christians believe that Jesus is coming again? And what's it going to be like? Well, Billy began to describe out of Matthew 24 and 2 Timothy 3 some of the signs to look for. And I'm just going to talk about just briefly two of them. The first thing he talked about is what Jesus said in Matthew 24. The first sign he says is, see to it that no one deceives you. Deception is going to run rampant over our earth. And believe me, and how many know, there's lots of people, including Christians, who have been deceived. I think it's verse 13. Jesus said, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. So great deception. And then Paul in 2 Timothy 3, where Paul talks about that in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. In other words, savage, ruthless, brutal, excruciating times. And we're beginning to see even more of that, I think probably because we have 24-hour media now. You can get it at the click of a button. We see it everywhere where people are just so unglued that they're in people's faces and they want to get it. Do we see that everywhere? It's happening all over. It's happening all around the world. And so Billy Graham said to Larry King, he said, look, Larry, the bottom line is this. He said, things are not going to get better. They're only going to get worse. But I have some good news. How many here are Christ followers? Okay, Christ follower. If you're not a Christ follower, you know, I still have some good news, but I want you to get in on what Jesus is doing. Amen. I got good news for you. Tell your neighbor he's got some good news. The good news, my friends, is that if you're born again, you've got absolutely nothing, zero, zada to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Why? Because here's why. If we're Christ followers, we are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We in fact, Psalm 91, you don't have to turn there, but it says this, he who abides in the secret place. How many have been to the secret place lately? All right. If you abide in the secret place of the Most High, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We've got nothing to worry about. Tell your other neighbor, you've got absolutely nothing to worry about. But if we read through the Bible very carefully, we see both in the Old and the New Testament, evil running rampant throughout the earth. And so it was in the life and times of the prophet Habakkuk. He lived during Judah's most critical period, much like this nation's most critical period. His country had fallen from great heights of Josiah's reign as king to the depths of violent treatment of its citizens, the oppression of the poor, and a total collapse of their legal system. Josiah had tried to institute reform because Judah had fallen into despicable acts of sin. He began to cry out to God, much like many of God's children today around the world are crying out to God in prayer. Aren't you glad you belong to a church that cries out to God in prayer here? Corporately, I pray that we're doing it individually, but there's something to be said when God's people rally around prayer and seeking God's face. Amen? And, Joe and I were down in Indiana with some pastors yesterday, and so good to hear, man. I'm telling you what, there's these massive prayer movements that are continuing to go. Hillsdale County, St. Joe County, and what was the other county? I can't remember. But hundreds of pastors and their churches are coming together seeking God for answers. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings, chapter 23, tells us how Josiah took a stand and renewed Judah's commitment to its covenant with the Lord by calling a national assembly, much like in our country what we call a national day of prayer. And people are seeking God. How many are old enough and been around long enough that you perhaps were part of the Promise Keeper movement? I mean, anybody here? When we would have these national, regional assemblies where hundreds, thousands of men, I'll never forget going to the Silver Dome, where nearly 80,000 men came seeking God's face, praying and repenting before God. Pastors by the thousands repenting before God. I remember going down with my brother, Gary. He called me, he says, Mark, they're having a prayer movement down in Indianapolis. Do you want to go? I said, yes, let's go. We went down there. Same thing. 40,000 men gathered in a solemn appointment with God to pray and seek his face. Josiah and Habakkuk had witnessed horrific sins committed by the priest and the people. Back in that day, they were involved with idol worship in the temple. Back in that day, they practiced sodomy and prostitution in the temple of the Lord. Back in that day, they practiced astrology in the temple of the Lord. Back in that day, they sacrificed children in the house of the Lord. Now, we don't have those kinds of vile sins happening in our churches today, but I will say this, my friends. We have a society today that many of Christians who call themselves Christians, they approve of government-supported abortions by the millions. They say they're Christians, yet they vote for men and women who approve of those policies. Now, don't get mad at me. This is Bible. How many want to live and walk the Bible? My friends, you can't have it both ways. You and I cannot have one foot in the world siding with to make people happy. Jesus said, men will hate you because of me. So we can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church and truly call ourselves Christ followers. For Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, if you don't pick up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of my kingdom. So many say today, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they vote for and they approve of government-sponsored abortions. they vote for and have been for decades now. And I remember this happened. I said to myself, this will be truly another notch in the devil's belt for the crumbling of our society when they begin building and approving casinos in every city around our nation. Yet there's Christians who say they're Christians and they go and they support these casinos. And by the way, if you do that, then you support all the vices that come along with the casino, such as drugs, alcohol, and here it is, Detroit comes in about almost in the top three, I believe it is, in terms of sex trafficking here. It's happening in and throughout the casinos of downtown Detroit. And we call ourselves Christ followers. So in a sense, there's nothing new under the sun. The sin that ran rampant back then, it's running rampant today. And that's what Billy Graham was talking about. So all these types of things were happening in Habakkuk's day. There were wars all around him, great despair amongst the people. He felt like God had abandoned him and that he was nowhere to be found. The time in which he had lived was filled with iniquities, trouble, plundering, violence, strife, contentions, lawlessness. But something happened in the midst of this in Habakkuk's heart. Habakkuk chapter 3. Look at verse 17 with me. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Today's title, if you're writing any notes, is The Overflow of Joy. So Habakkuk is in the midst of all of what I just explained, yet he is rejoicing in the Lord. He's finding joy in the presence of his God and salvation. Verse 19 says, for the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Man, listen, earlier high heel hills. Earlier today, I don't know what happened to me. But something came over me. I literally leaped over the top of this row and did a number 10 right there, landed up on it just like. I did. I kid you not. Complete. And check this out. I was out of the gym all week long because I tied my shoe and my back went out. And so I've been out of the gym all week long. And here, something happened inside of me. It wasn't me, but it was the joy of the Lord. I want to talk to you today about this overflowing joy that you and I need to experience on a daily basis. And here's why. There's people outside these walls today that are heading headlong to hell. And you may be the only Jesus or sign of salvation that they'll ever see or hear. Somebody left me a note after the service. And they wrote this. They said, and some of you have heard this before, our life is a testimony. Sometimes we use words. Sometimes we use words. So something happened in Josiah. He had an encounter with God, and he had this incredible experience of joy in his life. Now, in verse 18, the word joy is the Hebrew word geel, G-E-E-L. That word goes much deeper than a happy or a glad feeling on the inside. Habakkuk is expressing in the midst of incredible evil in his day that he had made a decisive decision of his heart to rejoice in the Lord and be glad, no matter what was going on around him. Verse 18, he says it, yet I will, with all the stuff crumbling around me, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the Lord my of my God in my salvation. That word joy is a literal meaning of leaping and twirling about in the presence of God. Now, some of you are looking, man, what is that guy doing? He's crazy. No way. But this is the kind of joy that got him through. This is the kind of joy that God was able to look down and say, yep, I can connect with you. I have a pastor friend of mine. He's retired now, pastored for many years. And he told me one time, he's living in Idaho, passing a beautiful part of the country, mountains, just glorious. I mean, you wake up every day and you're looking at mountains, you're looking at rivers, you're looking at forests, and just pastored this small little church out in the country. And but he worked at, I believe it was a steel mill or some kind of mine, I'm not sure exactly what it was. But he was always trying to witness to his guys at work. And finally, one time, guy came up to him and said, hey, you say you're a Christian, right? He goes, yeah. He said, and you're a pastor? Yeah. He goes, well, somebody ought to tell your face that, and walked away. Here's why. He always had this countenance about him that didn't radiate the joy of the Lord. Now, I know all of us have bad days. And all of us and here's the thing. Pastor Tommy and I are living right where you're living. We've had some bad days. We've had some reports not so good from the doctor, just like you have. We've had family turn our back on us, just like you. I've had friends turn their back. I've had church brothers and sisters in the Lord, you try to reconcile, and they're like, we want nothing to do with you. It's like, what is up with that? So we've experienced that. And so the point is, we try not to let that dictate our life. We try. Sometimes we're not always successful. How many hear what I'm saying today? But we got to go beyond that. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to go beyond that. We got to go beyond our feelings. We got to go beyond all this. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 6 that when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of David, that David danced with all of his might and shouted, leaped, and twirled before the Lord. Why? Because he knew that the presence of God was there and he wanted to be right where the action was. And he didn't care what anybody thought. His own wife, Michael, began to mock him and laugh at him and ridicule him. But David didn't care because he knew. In fact, he said this in Psalm 16:11. It says, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. Although everything is going wrong in Habakkuk's external world, he is leaping for joy because of his relationship and friendship with the Lord God of heaven and earth. None of this stuff is affecting him. And this is where I believe that the Lord wants to bring you and I today. To move beyond circumstances. To move beyond feelings. And to get in touch with a God who loves you so incredibly much. God loves you today. God understands what you're going through. He understands, listen, he understands the pain and the physical pain. He understands the emotional pain of losing someone so dearly in your life. But God wants to take us beyond that. The Bible says, in Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord's made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not walking around like this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. No, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8:10, and if you know this, folks, then we gotta practice it, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. He's my fortress, my rock. He's the one that gives me joy in the midst of turmoil and decay. This overflowing joy is an attitude. Jeff talked about it earlier. It's an attitude that we have to develop. In fact, Paul tells us in Colossians 3 that we're to put on joy. We're to put on love. How many got dressed this morning? Y'all did, right? You put your socks on, you put your shirt, pants on, dress on, whatever. You do that every day. We all do. Well, the same thing with the Lord. He says, put on Jesus Christ. Put him on. You say, I don't feel like it. You get dressed even when you don't feel like it. You go to work when you don't feel like it. The Bible says, put on joy, even when I don't feel like it. Someone might say to you, tell your face that you're a Christian. Psalm 144, 15 says, happy are the people who are in such a state. What state? Joy. Happy are the people that are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Do you remember that song when you were kids? Are you happy and you know it's amen? Are you happy and you know it's amen? Come on. First service got right into it. They started singing. Come on, let's try. Are you happy and you know it's amen? Are you happy and you know it's amen? Are you happy and you know it? Then your life will surely show it. Are you happy and you know it's amen? Are you happy and you know it? Stomp your feet. Are you happy and you know it? Stomp your feet. Are you happy and you know it? And your life will surely show it. Are you happy and you know it? Stomp your feet. Yeah, see, here's the deal, folks. See, some of us, I'm telling you, there are so many people that could be won to Christ if we just let our actions speak for Christ rather than our words. That they would see something different in us. That we would be people not being crazy, going out and leaping and twirling about. But there's something that when you walk in the room, man, Jesus is walking in with you. When you walk into your classroom at college, Jesus is walking in with you. You got something to say, something to show, and it's Jesus. We need to tell ourselves to get out of the way and let the joy of the Lord be our strength today. Let people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not walking around all sourpussed and just like, oh man, I don't know what's going to happen. You'd be so many people. That's why the world, in many cases, cannot tell any difference between those who are Christians and those who are not. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, the Lord rejoices. I mean, he gets joy. He says the Lord rejoices over his children with singing. Why? Because we're rejoicing in our love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter. Throughout Paul's ministry here, he was not moved by adverse circumstances. Maybe it's this. I'm just saying. Maybe we don't know these things because we don't crack our Bibles open. I'm just saying. And here it is. If we're waiting for the pastor to come in, and this is where I see it. Because I used to be like this. And maybe if this, let the Holy Spirit do something in you today. Maybe he's just saying, hey, crack your Bible open every day. But if we're waiting, we're coming to church and waiting for the pastor to do one of these things. To jack us up. To get us to a point where, oh, I can make it through another day because I came to church. Lord, help us. Lord, help you. If that's your relationship with God, I challenge you, God wants to take you deeper. God wants to bring you in a place where that no matter what's going on in the world, man, you can have joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Someone say amen. Amen. And so we see Paul here. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but over in 2 Corinthians 11, describes Paul's perilous and savage things that he went through. It says this, 5 times he received 40 stripes minus one. In other words, he was whipped. 3 times beaten with rods. 1 he was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked, left afloat in the sea a day and a night. His own countrymen came against him. He spent days without sleep, cold, naked, and hungry, chained up in prison. And one of the things he says in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, but none of these things move me. What comes over me is the care for the church. In fact, in another occasion in Acts chapter 20, he's going to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to be headed for trouble. He knows where God is sending him, there's going to be trouble ahead. And listen to his words in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says this, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. Why? Because he knows that his life has been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He's got nothing to hold back. Do we have anything to hold back? I'm asking you this morning. Only you can answer that. Is there something that you're holding back from God that you say, I don't want to get that serious in my relationship. I like being comfortable. Listen, God is not called to us, and that's the problem in the American church. We got this comfortable feeling of a lifestyle that we can have the church and have the world at the same time. That is the one thing Jesus said, be sure, do not be deceived. And so Paul is going through all of this heartache and turmoil, and he knows he's headed for even more trouble, but he says these words in Acts 20 and verse 24. He says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life as dear to myself, so that I might finish my life with joy. And the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen up, my friends. I don't care how young you are. Even out there, our young people. I'm preaching this stuff all the time. I tell our leaders, you need to tell these kids God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Plan and a purpose for your life. Plan and a purpose. God wants to use you. God wants to use your smile. Amen. God might even use your tears. God wants to use your hands, your feet, your mouth. He wants to use your countenance. Anything that's available, he wants to use to tell others and to show others Christ Jesus, who he is, the Savior of the world. And so God has a ministry just waiting for you to fulfill with joy. He has a ministry, whatever that looks like. It might be just praying for people at work. You know, you can pray, right? Pray under your breath right at work with people. I find that when people ask, you know, would you pray for me? I find that now's the time. There's no better time than now. Brother Dale was here this morning greeting at the door, and people were coming in. He told me about his brother. He just found out he's got cancer, 53 years old. And I said, brother, and he said, will you pray for him this week? And I said, no, let's pray right now. There's no time like now, right? And just being obedient. And this is what Paul was. Paul was being obedient. And then in Philippians chapter 3, did you find that yet? Verse 1, listen to what it says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said, finally, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it is safe for you. Beware of dogs. In other words, he's saying, wake up. Hey, you, wake up. Beware of being deceived. Don't be deceived. Billy Graham said, he said it, it's going to get much worse. Deception. Who would have thought that our civil rights here in America as citizens are being jerked away from us? We can't say things. We heard today on the way in, true story, the gentleman who was the fire chief in Atlanta, Georgia, our former president put in charge of the entire fire department over the United States. There's an office. I didn't know there was such an office. This guy happens to be a Christ follower. He wrote a book, a 162-page devotional. at home. He started having Bible studies at home, inviting guys from work to come. And some of the guys didn't like what he was saying because he took a stand for marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman, according to God's word. And he took a stand. He says homosexuality, is just like cheating, is a sin. It's a sin. Well, do you know this guy got fired? He didn't do it at the workplace. They fired him just because, here it is, he's a Christ follower. But listen, he's fighting back. And so our civil rights, civil liberties are trying to be taken away. There's coming a day, I think Pastor Tommy had mentioned this, that when we talk about these things, they're going to try to arrest us. Right here in the pulpit. But are you willing to pay the price? And so Paul goes on. He says, verse 3, for we are of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, he's saying, man, be joyful in the Lord. Don't trust your flesh because your flesh is an outlaw. Your flesh is an outlaw. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And I believe the Lord would say to us, hey, quit having windy faith, shifting. Do believe, don't believe. I believe it, I don't believe. I'm going to be joyful, I'm not going to be joyful. I want to be a snot to people, I'm not going to be a snot to people. That's windy faith. Going back and forth. Okay? Verse 4 of chapter 4, he says it again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Folks, there are some things in life that you and I cannot change. No matter how much we pray about it, how much we speak to it, we can't change it. But James says in James 1, 2, and 3, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. It produces patience. I don't know why I had a heart attack at 59 years old, massive heart attack, with 99% blockage in the Widowmaker. I worked out for 9 years every day in great health, eat right. Doctor says my blood pressure, everything's normal, and I had a heart attack. I don't know why that happened. I'm not even trying to figure it out. All I do know is that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to keep on going. And if you would have seen me in the first service, you would be going right now. Your eyes would be bugging out of your head. Because, man, oh, man, and I'm not going to do it again because that was of the Spirit of God. I literally leaped over this front row and stuck myself right there and got a 10. Amen. Everybody holding up a sign said 10, and I'm like, yeah. No, I'm only kidding. But there's something happens when we're in the presence of God. It changes. Turn to your neighbor and say, something's changing. Amen. Something's changing, brother. It's changing. Listen, it can only change in the presence of God with the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of His Word. The world isn't going to, listen, the world's going to say, don't be so radical. Don't be so out of control, man. Don't be, really? Is it out of control? I find this, if it is, I'm like, yes, Lord, I want to be out of control. That I can pray for former veterans, former soldiers down at the VA who have lost limbs. And sit and just pray for them. Is that out of control, really? I tell you, you know, Jesus has a plan for you. I remember talking to a gal on the phone. I said, you sound so nice. You're so sweet. And I said, you must be a Christian. She said, nope, just like that. I said, you're not a Christian? She said, nope. And I said, well, I forget her name. I said, well, you know what? That doesn't change the fact, let's say her name was Kathy, that doesn't change the fact, Kathy, that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you. He loves you so much, and He's got such an incredible plan. Can I pray for you? Okay, sure, yeah. So I went ahead and prayed for her. She's not even a believer. Who cares? But I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. Amen. I'm not going to let the world dictate what my relationship with Christ should be. And this is what we're seeing here, that no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, no matter what the devil says, what people say about you, you can have the joy of the Lord. And He's your strength. And the world needs it, folks. The world we're living in today needs Jesus. They need to see Christ in us the hope of glory. And as we kind of wrap up, I would like you to turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew chapter 6. Worrying about things is not going to change the situation that you might be facing. And I'm talking to me right now. Because, and I've shared this, and Jill, she's a rock. She's my rock, other than Jesus. But there's many times. My biggest problem, in fact, you guys remember, anybody remember the Each movement, Everyone a Chance to Hear? You don't remember that. There was 550 churches right here in Detroit 6 years ago involved with it. We were one of them. 7 years ago. And Everyone a Chance to Hear. And so it was called Two-Word Story. Anybody ever see the bumper? Two-Word Story, right? Right? So my two words, I've struggled with this, and probably because of my abusive childhood, was trust. It was so inbred in me, the lack of trust. I didn't trust anybody. And so the shirt would read, trust, ? Trust, ! Jesus Christ. That was my two-word story. So when people ask, what's that shirt mean? I tell them my story. Stuff can be so inbred in our lives that we think, okay, it's just the way I am. I'm going to be that way. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me last night. Many years ago, I wouldn't be able to be standing here. Because when I grew up as a kid, probably to almost my teenage years, I'd have nightmares almost every night of the week. Night terrors. All the time. Where I'd wake up screaming bloody murder. I remember one time we had a cottage up north. I was staying at a friend's house, cottage right behind us. I left that cottage in the middle of the night screaming my head off as an 8-year-old little boy in the middle of the forest running, trying to find my cottage where my home was. Last night, I woke up and I had one of those night terrors. She's never seen that before. And it gripped me for half hour, 45 minutes. I just like, what in the world? But today I have the joy of the Lord. Because I'm deciding that whatever happened in the past is the past. I can't do nothing about the past. I can't worry about it. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us here today. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I'll paraphrase everything here. He's saying, don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about this thing or that thing or the other. He says, your heavenly Father loves you so much. He says, aren't you more precious than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? Verse 31, he says it again. Therefore, do not worry, saying. I could have let that night terror grip me and continue to say, I can't believe that's happened. That guy scared the living daylights out of me. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe this was happening. Oh, God. You know, I could stay in that arena, or I could say, the joy of the Lord's my strength. Jesus said, don't be caught saying. It's in our words. But then he goes on. He says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Three times Jesus says, do not worry. Jill, if you'll come up and help me with this. Listen, the only thing you and I are responsible for is to put on Jesus, to put on joy. Now this little cup here, this one here is you. It's me. That's my life right there. Jill, if you'll hold that. And this cup here, that's God. Now, how do I get over? How do I get the joy of the Lord to overflow out of my life? I'm glad you asked me that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you right now. We begin to soak ourselves. Go ahead, honey, take that. We begin to fill ourselves. Put that right there. And begin to fill ourselves with the Word of God. The more I speak the Word of God, the more joy I'm going to have. Words like this, Father, my mouth, here it is, my mouth shall be filled with joyful lips. I am ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Hold that up high, honey. Hold it up higher. Hold it up higher. They can't see it in the back. Just begin to continue to speak. My mouth will make melody with all my heart to you, Lord. My happy heart is good medicine, and my cheerful mind works healing in my body. The light of my eyes rejoices the hearts of others. I have a good report. My countenance radiates the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I'm speaking the Word of God over my life. And what begins to happen, His love, His joy, His peace just continues to flow out of my life. And then when I spend my life, I spend my spirit in sharing with others, guess what? Sometimes we get empty, we get down, but guess what? I come back to the Word of God, and I keep speaking the Word of God over my life. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not going to be moved by adverse circumstances. I'm going to hold fast to the Word of God. I'm going to be a believer and not a doubter. I'm going to let my light shine before all men. Got to say it. Jesus said, don't be concerned with your worries by saying, speak God's word. And I'm going to tell you, the overflow of joy will begin to flow out of your life. Thank you, Miss Jill. Give Jill a big hand there. Thank you. So as we, we're filled to be spilled. Thank you, honey. We're filled to be spilled. Now, listen, no point, really, Christian, Christ follower, no point asking God to fill you unless you are willing to be spilled. I'm telling you. There's no. For years, we watched, you know, and we talk about this a little bit here, but, yeah, we can have incredible services, the presence of God here, but, we, you know, we're family here, right? Right? Where He's needed is out there. In your home, your marriage, your children, grandchildren. He's needed at your workplace. He's needed out in your school, wherever you work, where you live. He's needed. And so we got. I don't want to be that guy that comes up. A guy comes up to me and says, "Well, tell your face you're a Christian," because I'm always walking around like this. Then I try to tell people, it's like putting all those bumper stickers. Remember the bumper stickers? And then you get people, you know, going by you, honking the horn and flipping you off. And I see all these bumper stickers. I'm like, please don't do that. Please don't even tell people you're a Christian. You're giving Jesus a bad name. Yeah. He's not like that at all. So we got to be real. And what I love about our pastor and I love about this church is we're real. We're transparent. Our leaders are real. We're not some people that live up here and, you know, we're all just down here and hanging on to the Goodyear blimp with the little ropes there trying to get a little morsel of joy. No, no. I'm pressing into God. How about you? I'm pressing in. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to be joyful. Now, do I make it all the time? No. I blow it just like y'all do. But I got to stir myself back. I'm not going to wait to come to church so Pastor Tommy can jack up my spirit, man. No, nope, I'm gonna get in the presence of God by myself right now. And so as we close today, you're here today to say, Pastor Mark, I need that joy in my life today. Is there anybody like that today? Just say, man, just I want that joy to flow out of me where it touches people. I can actually feel that presence in me, but it touches others for the sake of Christ. Father, with our hands lifted, our lives lifted before you. Lord God, you're such a good God. You're a patient God. You're a God that loves us, but you are a God of action. And Lord, as your followers today, we are making, just like Habakkuk, just like Paul, a dedicated decision of our hearts and our minds to be filled with your Spirit. Not just to say it, but to actually live it, God, in our words, our deeds, our actions. Father God, let your love rain upon us. Fill us just like that jar was overflowing with water. Let the water of your Spirit fill us today, God, that your love flows through us and to others, that your joy flows through us and to others, that your peace flows through us and to others, for your glory, God. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord God, I pray for each and every person. How many have people that you've been witnessing to in your life? Is there anyone here? Say, Pastor Rob, okay. Listen. Let's get a little bit bold here, man. Let's be just point blank in them in the love of God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And just begin to pray for them that they would come to know. And then here's another thing. How often do we invite friends, family members to church? It's almost it's a lost thing. Many people are doing church online. You can't have a tangible presence of God watching a computer. I know you can get the word in you, but there's none of this. There's no, how you doing, brother? Does the computer pray for you? Come on. Deception. Father, use us, Lord God. Use us, Lord God. And Lord, as we go out today, God, into your fields, Father, we ask, Lord, that your joy just radiates out of our life, Father. We thank you for it. Lord, till we come back again, I ask for your hand of protection on each and every person as they make their way out today. Lord, be with them and just bless our day with your presence in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.